You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here from the Eakin Nutrition Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me. We are man down today as I know Andrew today. We will get him back coming up on Thursday as we will talk with Kevin Lehman coming up at that time. We got a great show coming up for you. We'll let you know what's happening in Iowa City. Newly minted Iowa Athletic Director Beth Goetz is meeting with the media right now down in Iowa City. And we'll talk about any highlights that came out of that coming up today. Also on the program, Tony Hager is going to join us from iowawrestle.com. And we will talk about high school wrestling as we get into a big, big weekend. Conference tournament weekend coming up this Friday and Saturday around the state of Iowa. You got the district assignments out as far as regional duels are concerned, so we will kick that around with you as well on the program here today. And after we went off the air, that seems to be a common theme. News broke about the latest information about the Iowa and Iowa State athletes and the gambling probe. And this is very interesting news, and we will get your reactions to all of that. 319-366-1600 is the text line, and without a producer today, love to have you just get in touch with us via the text line. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. On a warmer Tuesday, a little bit of a mixed bag of precipitation earlier on today. Not too bad on the roadways right now. Just be careful tonight. Most everything is on. As far as activities tonight are concerned, there are a handful that have been postponed once again. I know our game on crmlivesports.com tonight at 5:45 games are on. The big one, doubleheader between Solon and Marion, looking forward to that. So if you're off and about tonight, please be careful out there because it could freeze and get a little slick. Out there. Again, 319-366-1600 is the text line. Here's Mark joins me from the southwest side once again today. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just settling in this afternoon on Joe Mauer watch.
Yeah, we got the Baseball Hall of Fame finalists, and who's going to get in? That'll be coming up 5 o'clock Iowa time, correct?
That is correct, but all kinds of ballot trackers are out there weighing in on their opinion. Who's going to get in? Who's going to be left out? And like every year, debates on why someone got in or why somebody got left out.
Yeah, and we could see a little history today with your Minnesota Twins. I hope we do because, I mean, meeting Joe Mauer, I don't claim to know Joe Mauer. I've met Joe Mauer. Just a terrific gentleman. Very good baseball player. I think you can say one of the greatest catchers of all time. I think he's going to get in, man. I think he's going to get in, and that'll be good for the Twins and the Twins fandom.
Well, he may lead the parade, according to what I'm seeing. Three-time batting champion. Of course, he spent a better part of a week in Cedar Rapids in 2014. And I was really happy to go out and see one of those games. My wife wanted to go for different reasons than me, but I think you can imagine. But that was a thrill for a lot of local folks. And it looks like Mauer, probably Todd Helton, and then it's kind of up in the air. Billy Wagner, Gary Sheffield, those kind of guys are going to be close.
Adrian Beltre, I think he might get in. I think Beltre may get in as well. We'll see.
Well, he should, but latest tracker I saw is he's kind of trailing a little bit, but that doesn't mean everything. It's like, I suppose, polls and bracketology and whatnot, but we'll see in a couple hours anyway, for sure.
Is there bracketology for Hall of Fame? I don't...
Ballot trackers, I suppose, you can categorize them the same way, you know.
A lot of people, there are so many guys going, he's been out of baseball 5 years already? Like Billy Wagner, Andrew Jones, people like that. Chase Utley is on the ballot this year, the former Philadelphia Philly. That is, I don't know. I'm getting old, man. Time is marching on. Father Time and Mother Nature, as you know, Mark, and we have said this many times, they are undefeated.
Yes, they are. Beltre and Maurer in their first year on the ballot. And not a lot of players, some, not a lot, get in on the first year. Nobody's been unanimous, right?
Right.
Nobody's been unanimous, which is crazy to me. This is a really hard Hall of Fame to get into. You got to crack 75% of voters, some of whom have an axe to grind. Baseball Writers of America.
Do you think that is still the case, though? I think that's less and less each year and each decade that goes by. And you're right. There were writers out there that would not vote for an individual, no matter how good they were, because, oh, you know, he stole my Snicker bar in Philadelphia one day, or I think he did, or he snubbed me for an interview. And they'll hold that thing like an elephant for the rest of time. But I think we're getting away from that. I hope we're getting away from that.
I think you're probably right, although it was a thing for a long time, I think. And, you know, something like this is never going to be perfect. It's people's opinions. You know, are you going to select Andrew Jones over Torrey Hunter when Hunter had 500 more hits than Andrew Jones and neither had an MVP, neither won a World Series? I mean, the debates and ballot casting is, you know, purely opinion, no doubt about it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. If you would like to weigh in, 2401 saying, yes, Mariano Rivera was unanimous. I believe he was. Is he the only unanimous? There haven't been many. I know that. The great Mariano Rivera. How could you be mad at Mariano Rivera? No one's going to be unanimous this time. I can pretty much assure you of that. Also on the text line, 0835, you will have to wait until Spencer on Sports at 4 o'clock to ask Spencer if he is angry, more angry or confused about the firing of the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Adrian Griffin. I don't know. I know this. He's going to be unhappy if they bring in a certain former coach that has been around forever, and that is Doc Rivers. So he will address that at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, that's very curious. That's a team that has done very well, and maybe Spencer can get into the details of that. I'm sure he will, but thank you to the texter. Right, Mariano Rivera was on every ballot in 2019, and unlike Babe Ruth and Willie Mays and Nolan Ryan, Rivera was unanimous.
Ty Cobb. I mean, just go down the list. I think it's going to be easier. I think we're going to see more and more of those. When the time comes, how do you keep Shohei Ohtani off a first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer? Right?
Well, that's our next debate. Maybe our summer topic. I don't know. Who's the next unanimous MLB Hall of Famer?
Have they even been born yet?
I don't know.
319-366-1600. We mentioned Beth Goetz, I believe, still speaking down in Iowa City. Her news conference getting underway about a half an hour ago. And so far, answering all the questions, as you may well imagine, in a very not steering away. There is not going to be any controversial things that are going to be brought up today. It is still, you know, rainbows and bunnies at this time, I think, as far as Beth Goetz is concerned. I know Chad Lystico, among others, brought up the lack of an offensive coordinator for the Iowa football team, and if money has something to do with that, the rising cost of coordinators. She basically said, no, that's not the case, and she trusts Kirk Ferentz with the process. But you had a chance to listen in. I did a little bit, but I think you caught most of what Beth had to say today.
Yeah, you know, a lot of good feelings, and I guess that's the way it should be when you have an introductory news conference. But Goetz was asked about the offensive coordinator position, and she said, quote, "I feel really good about where the process is. All those puzzle pieces are going to come together in short order."
Ooh. Does that mean this week? Is this the Friday at 4:35 we get the offensive coordinator? Could be.
I don't know, Dad. David Eichel, when we spoke to him yesterday, said he'd be surprised if it is this week.
Yeah, he said it's going to be February before we're going to have an offensive coordinator for the Iowa football team. As 8699 says, day 60 of fan base held hostage for no offensive coordinator for the Iowa Hawkeye football team, counting from the last day.
I want to back up on that a little bit, just briefly. While Kirk Ferentz knew he had to hire an offensive coordinator in October when Goetz made her decision, Iowa had an offensive coordinator through January 1st, if not the 2nd. And there was no way an offensive coordinator was going to be hired before that time. That just would have been clumsy. So now we've been, 3 weeks into it? It's not 60 days, people.
Since the last regular season game, they say. But, yes, you are right. You are right about that. It's been 22 days. Because it was a January 1st game. Inclusive, you can say 23 days. 319-366-1600. I agree with you, Matt, in Fairfax. The Baseball Hall of Fame is turning into the Hall of Very Good. I would agree. It's tough. I mean, guys like Todd Helton, I think he had a tremendous career. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I don't know. Is Billy Wagner a Hall of Famer? I don't know.
I think in terms of Helton, I think very much so. In fact, he's an answer to your trivia question next time you go into a bar with your friends.
True.
Who was the quarterback right before Peyton Manning at Tennessee?
Before Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
Todd Helton.
Todd Helton. Helton got hurt. In comes Manning, and Helton becomes a baseball player.
He was a dual sport athlete to begin with, but yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Then he said, "Well, this Peyton guy is pretty good. This 18, I think he's going to be there for a while. Might be a good time to concentrate on hitting the baseball." And he did. And he did it very, very well. Yeah. Let's get to this 72-27 with our first. On the first comment on the text line yesterday, Mark, yesterday evening after our show went off the air, the news coming out about the DCI and the latest news on the investigation and how basically the origins of the investigation for certain Iowa and Iowa State athletes. And if everything that is being put out there in these reports is true, oh boy, there's not enough court space to handle all of the court cases that are going to be brought up as a result of this.
In my mind, something smells and smells terribly bad. Van Plum, an attorney representing a couple Iowa State athletes and others, is at the center of this. He's, as I said, representing the athletes, and he's contending that DCI agent Brian Sanger operated a warrantless search, a rogue operation, to try to nab some of these guys. Sanger, in his work, was first denied to go forward with the investigation by his superiors, and then later on, the superiors said, okay, go ahead with it. And Sanger has been asked, you know, why did you start looking into this without any allegations, evidence, what have you? And he said, well, he was concerned about a possible game-fixing operation going on.
Well, he was. That's the key word. He was.
Yeah. Really?
Why? Did he have money on this whole thing or not? I don't. Yeah, the way it sounds, he was trying to protect the athletes by turning them in, which to me makes very little sense, but I'm not in the head of that gentleman.
Yeah, and some of the athletes who operated under their own name were treated differently than those who operated under, you know, their mom's or dad's name or brother's name or whoever. And I guess that's sort of beside the point, but I look at the outcomes. And if what is being alleged is proven, it's going to be really sad because these athletes are not going to get, from football players to wrestlers, on and on, they're not going to get their eligibility back. Noah Shannon's not coming back to play. Nelson Brands, probably not, unless something's immediate, is not going to be on the wrestling mat.
Hunter Deckers.
Tony Cassiope, on and on and on. So the only outcome really is lawsuits, of which there will be many.
Many, many, many lawsuits are going to be coming down the line if this all proves to be true. 3148 on the text line. It's nice he ruined Noah Shannon's career, at least college career. I still think Noah Shannon has a shot of getting into the National Football League at this time. 7227 says, if the DCI agent broke the law, he should be fired. If the Racing and Gaming Commission allowed them to use their private propriety app, they should be fired. All participants and clean house. If a casino is involved, they should lose their license and be fined. They have a responsibility to protect the public, not violate people's rights. And now 1345 writing in that it's very unfortunate, but just like complaining about Angel Reese, that sometimes still happens, it's time to move on. Both teams weren't really hurt by the gambling, and we are all lucky for that. Well, yes and no, but like you said, now Noah Shannon didn't get to play his senior year, or his final year. We shouldn't even say senior year anymore. I mean, Hunter Decker's career is over. Basically, I don't see a pro team touching him. Iowa State didn't touch him as well. And you take a look at others. The basketball player, former Hawkeye basketball player, Mark, that went to Nebraska and is not playing there. And the name escapes me at this time.
And the wrestlers on both Iowa and Iowa State campuses, I think Iowa out four wrestlers right now.
Correct.
And Iowa State out a big one, out a star, but you know, maybe both teams were not really hurt by the gambling. You know, looking at the overall records and the season outcomes and whatnot, to me that doesn't matter.
It is still illegal.
You want to be Noah Shannon? How do you feel if you're Noah Shannon and this all comes to be true and to fruition?
True.
And, you know, don't get me wrong. I think you're in the same camp, Scott. These athletes knew not to gamble.
Yeah. It's still against the law. It's still against the law. Now, from what they could have pleaded down to a simple misdemeanor, that wasn't the case. And like you said, most of them, their college careers are over at this point. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class. Euless, thank you. Aaron Euless, 7769. How quickly we forget about former players when they leave the state. We're going to talk to Tony Hager coming up here in just a little bit. Go ahead, Mark.
Greg and Epworth with a good point. It doesn't change the fact that all those players committed NCAA violations. Greg, did you know Brian Sanger's from Epworth? Do you know him, Greg? I'm not throwing out any ill will or anything like that, but I noticed Sanger's from Epworth, and Greg is one of the first guys I thought of.
I did too. Our good friend Greg in Epworth up there. 319-366-1600 as we're going to get to a bottom of the hour Sports Center update from Mark, or I should say an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit, and we will talk with Tony Hager coming up here in just a little bit as well. Plenty of thoughts coming in. No, it is not Greg's brother, by the way, 9489. We know that. It's too bad that this happened, and it's too bad in the manner that this happened. You know that now it makes more sense, though, now, Mark, why other schools around the country have not also had anything pop up as far as gambling issues are concerned. Not to say that it is not going to happen in the future. You're still going to see, I still think you're going to see a few coming down the line at other schools that are just going to make a misstep, that are going to make a mistake, et cetera, et cetera. But in this fashion, now I guess it makes sense why this happened at Iowa and Iowa State only.
Well, I don't know. Are you saying that no other state has rogue agents?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure if you look around, you can find them, but they didn't come up with a plan quite like this so far.
Well, and I think we ought to, you know, everything doesn't sound very good right now, but we haven't heard from Sanger other than just a few bits and pieces. By the way, another DCA agent who was on the fringes of this case and excused himself, he spoke up today about, the nature in which this happened. And again, he excused himself from the case.
Yeah, if you go out on social media, there's a very good one of the Central Iowa television stations talked with Jake Remsburg's father from Iowa State. Very interesting piece right there if you'd like to take some time to go and take a look at that. 319-366-1600. Lots of people weighing in. No, Greg does not know him, by the way. Greg weighing in saying he does not know him. We will get to wrestling coming up here in just a little bit, and we will do that after we check in with Mark with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's. They are open at 4 o'clock each day other than Sunday. They are open 4 to 11 with a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining area. Check out their entire menu online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Just a few items in the NBA last night. A lot of scoring. Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia 76ers had 70 points. Only one three-pointer. Or was it no three-pointers? I don't remember. And Karl-Anthony Towns in a loss for the Timberwolves had 62. Big night of scoring in the NBA. It has been announced that another episode of the match, this time a mixed match, will be played February 26th in golf. Rory McIlroy and Lexi Thompson will take on Max Homa and Rose Zhang in that made-for-TV event February 26th. Finally, Cedar Rapids Xavier product Quinn Schulte, the Iowa safety coming back for another year, in 2024, has been named second team academic All-American by the organization formerly known as COSIDA, the Sports Information Directors Association. Schulte has a 3.72 GPA. He has graduated and plans in the fall to enter dental school.
Yeah, and play football. So, great job by Quinn. What a great man, great young man, great family. And hopefully another very good year for Quinn Schulte right around the corner. 5735, tongue-in-cheek. I'm glad we live in a state completely free of crime outside of gambling violations. Very happy that the DCI solved every other case. Oh, boy. Thank you, 5735, for that. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and we are going to talk some high school wrestling with you. Tony Hager is going to join us as we look forward to a very big weekend around the state of Iowa. Look back at what's happened the last couple weeks and more when we return after this here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home of sports.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And as precipitation moves out and temperatures remain near and above the freezing mark, road conditions will be improving. We are going to have some areas of fog developing as we head through tonight. And additionally, there may be some areas of freezing rain, and both could lead to some slick conditions for Wednesday morning's commute. As we head through the day Wednesday, there may be some rain showers around. It'll be cloudy with temperatures in the low to mid 30s. And then we could have a few more showers on Thursday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Hey, remember when we were having conversations without words like inflation, recession? Yeah, I miss those days too. So, at Quickstar, we're feeling a bit nostalgic. So we've lowered the prices on all our take-home meals. Every day, not on second Tuesdays or every Good Friday. Every day, make your next meal a trip down savings lane with chicken, bacon, mac and cheese, just $4.99. Or spaghetti and meatballs, $5.99. Quickstar, we got mealtime savings nostalgia. Covered.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Anjali.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just got an alert for a strange charge on my card.
No problem. We make sure you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases on your Discover card. Let's see. Did you purchase something from a t-shirt cannon store yesterday?
Absolutely not. No, I already have like three.
$0 fraud liability guarantee. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Back with you at 3:34 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Getting in touch. We are efforting Tony Hager right now to talk a little bit of high school wrestling, and we will do that when we get a hold of him, hopefully coming up here in just a couple of moments. It's a big weekend coming up for high school wrestling, Mark. You got all the mainly all the conference tournaments coming up today on Saturday, except for the CIML. They are always on Friday night.
Yeah, across the board, the MVC, WAMAC, on and on and on. And a big weekend. The girls are really looking forward to it as well, with regionals trying to get to the state tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, their season, they got started a couple weeks ahead of the boys. So they're wrapping things up. It goes quick. There is not a season that goes quicker, I think, than wrestling season, because it's a little bit condensed anyway. And then you get the weather thrown in, and it's awful tough. ESPN Radio coming up tonight for you. We've got tomorrow Iowa State, Kansas State men's basketball for you beginning at 7 o'clock. A little NBA action for you on Thursday as well here on the radio. So tune in to that. As I mentioned, most everything is still on tonight as far as all the activities are concerned. You heard Rebecca Kopelman there with the forecast. Make sure and check out and check in with wherever you may be going, whether it be basketball or wrestling or whatever the case may be here. So I think we've got our temporary guy on it here. We got, since Andrew is not here today, we've got Spencer on the other side of the glass trying to get a hold of Tony. So I think he's taking down a number now to call Tony. So we're going to be getting in touch with him coming up here in just a little bit.
Sounds good. I mean, there's a lot of action to talk about, and hopefully Tony can pull himself away from whatever he's doing.
Yeah, got a lot of things. He's got a lot of oars in the water right now. A lot of oars in the water. And indeed, Spencer's our guy. He's doing everything right now. He's the Swiss Army knife of radio here at this present time. And I asked him when I came in, are you the new coach of the Milwaukee Bucks? And he said, no, I am not. But my phone did go off when the announcement took place. So with Coach Griffin being out of there. 319-366-1600 here at 337. As we hopefully we'll talk some wrestling coming up here in just a little bit as we get in touch with Tony Hager. Tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us as we will find out. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about the polar plunge. I don't know if it was how cold it was, how miserable it was, how much money was raised, what costumes they wore. I did not see anything about it. We have to find out all this information tomorrow, Mark.
I did see a post by the Hawkeye Wrestling Club that somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 was raised. And that would be something because they were, short. Mark was concerned about raising enough money and apparently went off swimmingly.
Swimmingly, indeed. Well, one guy who did not jump into the lake on Saturday night set to join us right now, and that's Tony Hager from iowawrestle.com. And lots of things going on. You didn't jump into the pond on Saturday night.
I didn't. Ross Barczyk, he fell on the sword for me this year.
Was it? Did you talk to him? How cold was it?
You know, he said it wasn't too bad. You know, I actually made the jump twice, and he said that it wasn't bad as he, you know, the first year that he did it. Obviously was just the shock of it, how cold it actually is. And so I think just the more that you do that type of stuff, the more that you're mentally prepared. So kudos to everybody that made the jump for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. That's always just a fun and a great fundraiser for, you know, those, you know, Olympians, yeah. Future, hopefully Olympians, right?
Right. Future hopeful Olympians right there. Well, we got a lot of wrestling going on. Girls are getting down to regionals. We got regional duels. The assignments are out for the boys, 3A, 2A, 1A. We've got most of the conference tournaments coming up this weekend, Friday, most of them on Saturday. This is a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, this is an absolute crazy time for the Iowa High School Athletic Association. For the Girls Association, obviously, a lot of the work has gone in already to figure out what these regionals are at. and we're going to see a lot of girls wrestling on Friday. I thought that the association did a great job with regionals in Class 1A. You know, they were really tied to the Class 1A is just really heavy up north, east, and they did the best they could as far as where they're putting these assignments. That's one thing that the public just doesn't ever really understand when it comes to the sectionals and district assignments, of how much work actually does go into play into these things. And also with the girls union of figuring out how, like, where to put everybody. There is actually a thought process behind it. And I know I wouldn't want that job, that's for sure, of because you're never going to make anybody happy when it comes to these assignments, because ultimately, you know, it affects how their postseason runs, right? I mean, we get complaints on the daily about just rankings, let alone us, you know, that something's going to actually affect their postseason. So I haven't seen a ton of complaints on the regional dual assignments. How about you guys?
I think no one's ever going to be 100% happy, like you said, but yeah. I think it's okay. I think it's okay.
What do you think is the toughest one?
For the girls?
Just the girls. Yeah, I guess the girls. The girls, it's pretty widespread. You know, I haven't broke down, like, how many ranked wrestlers are at each just yet. We are going to have that out probably tomorrow or Thursday, of where the most ranked wrestlers are at. So we'll get a good idea of who's got the toughest weight classes. So be on the lookout for that. But, we haven't got to that point just yet.
Well, we are biased, but I think right here at the Illini Energy Powerhouse is a pretty good one.
Yes. They're all tough.
They're all tough. They're all tough. Yeah, and that's going to be coming up on the 26th, as you mentioned. So that is Friday, and it's an all-day deal, Sioux City at Tyson Arena, the Hy-Vee Hall in Des Moines, up in Mason City, and then here in downtown Cedar Rapids at the Illini Energy Powerhouse. There are actually two regionals at each of these sites going on at the same time. So there's a lot of wrestling. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, they've got to make this field smaller, right? Because girls wrestling just continues to grow. We have sectionals and districts and the boys. As the girls wrestling continues to grow, I had a great interview with Aaron at the union, you know, at the girls, with in regards to switching to a 1A, 2A type class. And that's definitely in discussion of where we'll be at, which will end up making these regionals or districts, or however they call it, probably a little bit easier for some. But it could actually make them harder for some of these bigger schools that are combined. And I mean, some of these schools do have a huge advantage over some of the smaller schools. Listen, there's no sugarcoating around it. You know, Waukee Northwest has got four or five massive schools at the Raccoon River here in Des Moines. You know, up north, Waverly Shell Rock, they're by themselves. So it's like, it's hard to, like, how are they going to do that? Where you've got, like, a team like Waverly Shell Rock that can, and Osage, you know, some of these teams that have just great following for girls wrestling. And you've got, you know, a team out west in western Des Moines that needs, you know, five, six different schools to create a team. So we'll learn a lot this year. I'd be shocked if we go to two classes next year, but it's definitely a discussion that's happening.
The boys state dual assignments are out, Tony, and just glancing through them, I saw really a couple, one in Bettendorf, one in Linmar. Those look pretty good in 3A, but what'd you think of the pairings?
You know, 3A is just, 3A is just such I hate to say it, but it's just a different animal, you know, when compared to 2A and 1A, as far as the dual team aspect of how you can pair these teams together and rankings. I mean, they're ranked right, but I do think that the association ranked teams in certain spots to where they could control where they did go. So I'm not going to call out any specific teams, but you know, there's a couple duels that, you know, the association standpoint on this, and I think coaches understand that really the top eight teams, the top 10 teams in that top 10, those, it usually works itself out, you know? So, you know, when you're in the, when you're in that bottom half, you know, there's been talk of like, what really are we trying to accomplish with these regional duels? When you've got the bottom-ranked team going against the number one team, it's just maybe we might be wasting a date on these regionals for the bottom half. So I'd be curious, like, as the more that seeding becomes apparent and coaches are kind of gaming the system or taking advantage of the system or, you know, seeking out certain competition, if regionals, you know, if people end up like decide not to wrestle their dual team at the regionals, if they don't even have a shot at going to state tournament. So, you know, see who actually puts what out on next Tuesday. But nonetheless, as far as us as people that are like to talk about wrestling, I mean, the more wrestling we get, the better, right?
Exactly. So,
I can't think of a regional right now that just sticks out to like, holy cow, like they got screwed. I think it's really more of like who has to go the farthest. That's always a tough decision of how they do those pairings. So at the end of the day, I do think we won't see anybody outside the top 10 at the state duels this year. They did do a good job of that. And that's just around the corner too. We talk about girls state. I mean, a lot of people forget that state duels are next Saturday, right there in Iowa City. So it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, the Thursday and the Friday will be the girls' two-day state wrestling championships, and then the duels, the team duels, will be the next day on Saturday. Coming up this Saturday, well, let's start with Friday, though. Friday is the CIML conference. And that's always a fun time on that Friday night. They kind of get the stage themselves a little bit, but that's going to be a great event this year again, too. And then pretty much everybody else around the state will have their conference tournament on Saturday. Includes the Mississippi Valley Conference. They're going to be having their super meet up at Dubuque Senior this year. MAC is going to be at the Pit at North Scott. And just on down the line right there. It's a great Saturday.
I'd be curious what your guys' thoughts are on the, you know, on the conference tournaments as we look forward to the state tournament, and that's really what everyone talks about, you know, and today's, you know, getting state titles, state team titles. You know, how often are we talking about conference champions, really? You know, do we need conference championships? We duel the same teams throughout the season. We're seeing conferences kind of realign up in your neck of the woods too. You know, what are your guys' thoughts on discontinuing the conference championships? Or do you feel like, you know, teams in your area enjoy the conference tournaments?
Talking with the coaches, I think they enjoy the individual aspect of it. Probably more. It's still big if you know that you are in the team race. I think that's still a big goal for a lot of the teams out there to win a conference championship. I don't think it is what it was 20 years ago. I see your point, but now we don't have district wrestling, so maybe this steps in for the districts. I don't know. Mark, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I go way back covering wrestling, back to when Jefferson and Prairie were going head-to-head and almost every weekend, and even before Prairie got in the MVC. But, I mean, I think from an individual standpoint, you can win a conference championship and end up not being a state qualifier, but you always have that in your pocket. No, it's not as big as being a state qualifier or a podium placer. But I think I agree with Scott. From an individual standpoint, I think it's still big.
I just don't want to see coaches come down to the conference tournament and say they've won, they've beat the kid in the conference twice. They've seen him at a duel, they've seen him at a tournament, you know, local tournament, 2-3 times. They've got seeding criteria over that wrestler. You know, do they sit out the conference tournament? Do we see that going forward, that seeding comes bigger into play nowadays, that we're not going to see maybe you see a little bit of ducking more than we have in the past as far as just wrestlers not competing at that tournament. That's what I just don't want to get to. So I'm just trying to bring a different perspective maybe for people to think about, right?
Yeah.
Do we get rid of conference tournaments, or do we fix seeding at the state tournament to where you have to have a certain amount of matches? I don't know what the answer is there.
Well, 8954 on the text line says, yes, schools and fans enjoy conference tournaments. So
I like it.
There you go. Right from the horse's mouth.
There you go. There you go.
And conference, and 3387 with a very good point. Conference champions impact seeding at the state, so they are relevant. So I get your point, Tony. If you got somebody that you're not wrestling, maybe that goes into how the seedings go out. I don't know.
Yeah. And I was on this train of getting rid of conferences if we were going to continue to have sectionals. Now that we don't have sectionals, I'm more leaning towards it. I'm good to go with conference tournaments. So I just, when we had the conferences and sectionals and districts, we were seeing so many teams wrestle each other again from conferences to sectionals. And we all know the more that you wrestle, typically the more that you wrestle somebody, the more you have a better feel for how they're going to wrestle. And at the end of the day, the district tournament, state tournament is the most important time. So why give your wrestler more opportunities to figure out how they wrestle? So that's just my thought on it. We are actually, I wanted to bring up one thing too, guys. Your neck of the woods on Sunday, Iowa USA State Folkstyle Tournament will be at the arena. They're talking over 1,000 wrestlers at it competing on Sunday. So there will be a lot of wrestlers in Cedar Rapids area this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of youngsters. A lot of youngsters. So if you're planning on Sunday dinner downtown, yeah.
Or Saturday night, forget about it. Yeah.
You may want to rethink your plans at this particular time. And hey, before we let you go, you got any big changes in your latest rankings going into the conference tournaments?
You know, we've really been focused on the dual rankings. I know that our rankings don't matter in regards to, you know, these regional duels, but we did put a lot of time into making sure that last set was pretty locked in and hopefully kind of sway some coaches to vote a certain way. So we do have individual rankings coming out tomorrow for boys and girls. So we are still in the process of kind of looking over things from this past weekend. That was a big weekend in wrestling. So I'll have more information on in regards to the big changes coming here next week on the call.
Awesome. That'll be good. And we'll know who the qualifiers are for the girls' state. We'll look forward to that and look forward to regional duels for the boys. So you got a lot of stuff right now up at the website. So go ahead and talk about that real quick.
Yeah, fun thing right now to look at that we've done is we've tried to predict the state qualifiers based off of our rankings, based off of winning percentages at every single district and every single class. So if you're in District 4 in Class 2A, you can go see, you know, who we are predicting to make it to the state tournament based off of that. So it's obviously it's hard to predict every single district, every single state qualifier, but we've tried to bring some data into play versus having it all be human picking and choosing of who makes the state tournament. So that's a really fun thing that we've got up on the website right now. You can find that on our social medias at IA Wrestle. And then, again, we'll have high school rankings, individual rankings coming out this week for boys and girls. We did just announce the top 7 wrestlers in Class 3A, 2A, 1A, and girls for the Mr. and Miss Wrestler of the Year Award. So voting is open for that as well. So you can go check out to see who those top 7 were in each class. That's at IAWrestle.com.
All right. Sounds good. Enjoy the wrestling, Tony. Thanks for the update, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks.
Tony Hager joining us from IAWrestle.com. And we're going to take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you after this here on the Gym Class on a Tuesday here on KGYM.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-384-1340. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-384-1340. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-384-1340.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Back with you at 3:56 to wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer for hire, as Troy called you. Yeah, I like that. You're Bob Urich out there. See, Bob Urich was a great guy.
It's funny you bring that up because when I was real young, people would, I believe Spencer for hire was a show way back in the day. And people would spell my name the way it is. It's with an S.
Yes.
And my parents would correct them. It's a C, Spencer with a C. So.
Yeah. You're not Bob Urich.
No, I'm not.
No one is. No one is out there. Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk college wrestling and the latest in the world of local sports coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And a Bowling Night in America preview for you. Both Iowa and Iowa State in action. You and I, Mark, in action tonight. As the Panthers with, you would think, a, pardon the term, a layup tonight against the Purple Aces of Evansville. Aces are better this year. They're better this year. Still not great, but better. So you and I should still get a win tonight, though.
Should get a win. Won 8 out of the last 9. Probably make it 9 out of 10. And I really thought Spencer was going to talk about his pick six analysis.
No analysis on the – hey, you don't look back, you look ahead. So we're looking ahead for the pick six this week.
And I'm poking the bear, too.
I know. You shouldn't do that. All right, we will be back with you coming up tomorrow at 3 with another edition of the Gym Class. Mark, have a great night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
Stick around. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95%